The Blitz. KFNC Mont Bellevue, Houston. A Gau Media station. If you're not down with that, we got two words for you. Are you ready? Hey, you think you could tell us what to do? You think you could tell us what to wear? You think that you're better? Well, you better get ready. Bow to the masters. Break it down. From the renterswarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz, hour number two. 713-780, ESPN's your number, 713-780-3776. You can also hit us up on The Blitz Facebook page. Find The Blitz, click like, you're good to go. There's also Twitter at Fred Fowler, at AJ Is The Real, at Jon Snow with a zero, I don't know, at Degenerates 975. You can also text the show at 713-780-3776. Missed the first hour? A lot of Texans talk. A lot of football talk. A lot of
Monday night football talk.
Yeah. About on the field and off.
All over the place.
Yeah. So go check that out. It's on podcastarena.com. Man. Yeah, it's funny. As we talked a lot about the Texans yesterday, and people keep saying, you're giving the defense a pass. I don't think we did give the defense a pass yesterday. And Mike Vrabel, somebody had tweeted that earlier today. I thought we were pretty hard on them yesterday.
I thought every player and every coach should have been. I don't think one of them played up to what should be the standard there.
Yeah, and I think your biggest stars, Clowney and Watt, were invisible.
Yep.
So 713-780-ESPN is your number. Let me squeeze in a couple calls real quick. Is that Gabriel? Gabriel?
Gabe.
What's up?
Hey guys. It's love the show, first off, first time caller. We were just talking, me and my friends, like a win-win situation. Being the O-line being the way it is, wouldn't it be funny that the Texans would sign Kaepernick knowing that he'll get murdered on the field so, like, the owners can collaborate and laugh about it? Meanwhile, the masses will shut up because somebody gave him a job and he saved Watson's health and Savage's health to kind of use him as a guinea pig. I'll just hang up and listen.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think anybody's signing anyone just to get their ass kicked. I mean, the whole goal is to win games here. I think they thought they could win games. And truth be told, Colin Kaepernick today is a better quarterback than Deshaun Watson.
Oh, yeah.
So all you'd be doing is, you know, creating a quarterback controversy, even more than the one you've already got. I mean, but Brandon Whedon today is probably a better quarterback than Deshaun Watson is right now. They could have kept him and thrown, but you can't think week two, well, we just got to throw somebody out there to protect the health of our quarterbacks. Like, no, yeah. That quarterback, that's why you got him, to go out there and win games. And
yeah, that was almost keyboard cat worthy.
And plus, if the Texans have a losing season, Bill O'Brien's losing his job.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
Bill O'Brien is not doing that.
Let's grab John real quick.
Yeah, Bob McNair is the last guy who's going to take one for the team on that. Oh, we'll get the media off everybody else's ass and we'll just sign him. No, he ain't doing that.
No.
It's the last guy who's signing Kaepernick, probably.
Keyboard cat. That's what it should have been. John, go.
Hey, guys. Three quick questions. Right after the Maryland loss, I bet my buddy that UT would have just as many wins as the Texans. One, how do you see that playing out? Two, do you give them any chance this weekend against USC? And three, who should I put my money on this weekend during the fight? I'll hang up and listen.
All right. One, at this point, I would probably go Texas to have more wins than Houston. The Longhorns more wins than the Texans, the way it looks today.
Yeah, I reserve the right to change my mind.
Yeah.
I'm kind of with you on that today.
It's close.
Yeah, it is close.
Two, I don't know if they can beat USC. I think they can play.
I
think they can play with USC. Yeah, it's outside of two touchdowns. I like that. But I would say they probably can't beat USC. USC's got too much talent on offense. And I saw a stat that I found pretty interesting about Texas against quarterbacks who got drafted. Since 2010, Texas is 4-17 against quarterbacks who ended up getting drafted. Their only wins were in 2011, they beat Ryan Tannehill. They beat Pat Mahomes twice, 2014 and 16, and they beat DeShone Kizer last year. That's it. And Sam Darnold's getting drafted.
He's going to go fairly high.
So if that trend holds, they've been bad against solid quarterbacks. And
It's new coaching staff, so who knows?
Yeah,
but
that's fair.
I think they're going to make a good accounting of themselves in that game, though.
I do too, but I don't think they'll win. I'd put them at like 20% chance of winning, 15 maybe. We'll talk more about the fights on Thursday and Friday when we're out there in Vegas. But I like Golovkin. I've been begging for this fight for 3 years because I think Golovkin can beat Canelo, and would kind of put him on the map.
But 3 years ago, I would have said, yeah, Golovkin wins this fight. But I think Canelo's become a better fighter. And I'm going to kind of throw out both of them's last fights because I think they both were being a little conservative to keep this payday. I know Golovkin was. So I think they're going to go after each other. But I think it's close, man. I still think I'm going to wind up going with Golovkin. But I like getting out there and talking to everybody who knows what they're talking about.
Yeah.
And because for me, I'd love to bet the underdogs if I think they have a chance. And right now, Canelo's an underdog. But we'll talk a lot more about that fight.
By the way, official statement, Texans will start Deshaun Watson on Thursday versus the Bengals per NFL Network.
There you go.
It's kind of been, it's not surprising, but that now it's official.
Okay.
Joe Bevo, does Bob lose his job with a losing season or does it take a 2-win season? What about Rick?
I don't
think Rick Smith's getting fired. He just gets signed an extension.
Yeah. I think
if there's a losing season here, because I feel like that relationship is tenuous with O'Brien anyway, whether he'd be fired or resigns, there would be
mutual parting of the ways. Yeah, and his contract is up this year, I think.
Yeah.
So, I would say 6-10, he'd be gone, and it would be mutual. I get the sense he's not all that thrilled here, and I don't think they're all that thrilled with him.
And I don't blame any of them.
No. Try West. What's up, West?
Sports, guys.
Sports.
All right, man. So here's my opinion on the whole Texans situation right now with the quarterback. Instead of trading up to get Deshaun Watson, I know everybody wanted a quarterback. What if the Texans would have traded their pick down, got a couple of second and third round picks, and picked up some offensive linemen? Do you think the situation with the quarterback would be any different, or will we still be looking at the same BS?
Well,
I'll hang up and listen.
I think you might not agree with me, Fred. I feel like if they had not taken Deshaun Watson and had they not prioritized quarterback in this draft, they probably would have signed Jay Cutler and used him as sort of a transition period.
And I think they would have drafted Cam Robinson, who I know they liked. They had him in here several times.
He looked pretty decent.
He looked really good the other day.
And would people be excited about the long-term future had they signed Jay Cutler? No. Would they be better this year? Probably. But they're playing the long game, which I don't blame them for necessarily, but if you're going to draft a quarterback, and we can go back to the first year of this franchise, if you're going to draft a quarterback, make sure he has an offensive line before you throw him out there. And the Texans, they've not prioritized offensive line, but most of the efforts they've made to get offensive linemen have been failures.
Yeah, and it's not like they haven't tried.
They've tried. We went through it yesterday, the last five years of drafts, they've been
very bad at it.
Yeah.
And there's certain positions.
We think Nick Martin's pretty good.
We're hoping he's pretty good. He was okay Sunday.
Other than him, they haven't drafted anybody right.
No. I mean, going back to Dwayne was the last guy that they drafted on that offensive line.
I mean, Brandon Brooks, but he's not here anymore.
No. And he turned out to be okay.
He was serviceable.
Yeah. I don't think he was great.
No. You'd take him on this team.
Yeah.
He might be the best offensive lineman if he was on this team.
God, it's pathetic. I mean, you know, and this love for Kendall Lamb.
Yeah.
And Okay. Hey, Greg Mance is a pretty good.
He's a nice swing interior lineman.
Yeah, and he's an upgrade over Suofilo.
Is he going to start this week, you think?
Well, if Allen doesn't play, he's going to have to play the other side.
Oh, yeah.
So.
Yeah, what a mess.
Listen, somebody asked, do you think the hurricane had anything to do with it? Yeah, I can't discount that. It wasn't just the fact that they didn't play the fourth game. It was the fact that they had to go from New Orleans to Dallas, and they had to spend all that time up there. And, yes, they got out of their routine, and they looked like a team that had been distracted and wasn't ready to play. And I do think it was a factor. The problem is, on a short week, I mean, I don't know how you make the adjustments and get back on track in 3 days when you have to go on the road.
Yeah.
And this is going to put them up against it because, frankly, you lose this, you're looking at 0-3. And that's not going to be easy to come back from. So we'll see. I mean, I expect a better effort. But so you said that he is starting because I got my Houston Texans transcripts today.
Mm-hmm.
First one, head coach Bill O'Brien. Have you made a decision about your starting quarterback? No. What are you still evaluating? A lot of things. You said you've not made a decision. No.
Oh, boy.
Let's see.
What a peach.
Yeah. How much does Deshaun Watson's health play a role in the decision? The health of any player is the first determinant in whether they play or not.
All right. So he's just telling you a bunch of nothing. I don't even care.
And he says, do you anticipate this might be a game time decision? Maybe, yeah. I don't think there's a rule that says I have to publicly announce it.
He's so unlikable. He's so unlikable.
Are we going through this like the Browns did? Where they had like all these starters? Remember, there's that jersey out there with all those starters. Yeah. Are we going through this with the Texans? Because I feel like the Texans have just as many starters in the past couple of years as the Browns does.
He never answers anything. Are you expecting to make a roster move with the tight end position? I don't know. Yeah, maybe. Not sure. I mean, it's a short week, so we don't have to make that today. We can wait up until a certain time to make a move. You can train a guy during the week, you know what I mean? Get him ready for the game plan and make him make that move if you think you need to make that move right before the game, basically.
Wouldn't you think he'd be a little more humble right now?
No, he's never going
to
be
humble. He still goes up to that podium like he's Bill Belichick.
Yeah.
A guy who's accomplished literally nothing still goes up like he's Bill Belichick and like...
Oh, no, two AFC South titles, AJ.
Whatever.
That's what he says. Won a lot of games.
They have a winning record, AJ.
All right, well...
Well, not this year.
No, then, yeah, not this year.
Run the parade out.
Last couple of years.
Said, how would you say the guys have been bouncing back on the field? Said, it's been good. The guys are into it. It's hard to have a full throttle practice, but they've been very focused. Good meetings. Had a little bit more of a fast pace, more of a jog through today, but it was good, very good. So they bounced back is what he's saying.
Okay. Good, very good.
Yeah.
All right.
Okay, here is some news for you with Jeff Allen being hurt. Is Mance going to start at right guard? And he says, Mance will start. Yeah, Mance will play.
Okay. Well, there you go. There's the answer.
And he's going to play for Allen.
Then that means Suofilo will play also.
Yeah, which is depressing.
It's a damn near disaster. All right. Well, listen, my recommendation when you play DraftKings this week, avoid the Texans. Week one is in the books. It's not too late to get closer to the game that we all love with DraftKings. 1 week fantasy football. This Sunday, DraftKings is hosting a $100,000 Pick'em contest. It's totally free to enter. Pick'em is the newest way to play 1 week fantasy. You draft your team faster than ever. They've organized their players into eight tiers. You select one player from each tier. You can play a public contest for big money, private contest against a group of your friends. They've got beginner and casual contest. The best part is you draft a new team every week. Get to DraftKings.com now. Use promo code Houston to play in DraftKings free contest with $100,000 in total prizes this Sunday. That's promo code Houston for your share of $100,000 in total prizes. The contest is totally free to enter. Why wouldn't you try it? DraftKings, the game inside the game. Eligibility restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com for details.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5.
We're taking a break.
Okay. That's cool.
You're listening to The Blitz.
on ESPN 97.5. Your home for Aggie sports. Stay sportsy.
And we're back on the Blitz. Apparently, somebody from Baylor tweeted this out. 9 new starters listed on Baylor's depth chart prior to trip to Duke.
Yeesh.
Good luck with that. Yeah,
hit reset.
Yeah, that's interesting. And somebody asks, is it possible he just had a bad game and everyone's overreacting? Yeah, that's possible. But I also think, and I think there might have been some reasons for that, but there are some concerns. And unfortunately, I think the concerns are the things that we had before the season. The offensive line, there's no way the defense can play as badly as it did Sunday. And there's just no way. They were not good.
Well, I would say the offense that they're about to play has more potential than the Jags did.
Yeah, and I'll just say this. Andy Dalton's not going to play as poorly as he did Sunday. That was a career bad game for him, basically.
You know, Andy Dalton is better than what Blake Bortles is. A.J. Green is better than anyone Jacksonville has.
Especially after Robinson.
Yeah, after Allen. It's not even a conversation after Allen Robinson gets hurt. They've got you know, they don't have a Leonard Fournette type necessarily, but they've got three backs that I think are all very serviceable and are all very dangerous. So it could be worse.
But you know what? Their offensive line was really awful in that game Sunday too. And I don't think they'll be as bad, but... Yeah, you know, and the short week always favors the home team, always, and yeah, you know, I think it's, you know, things could go south in a hurry here because you're staring at the Patriots next week too, and that's the thing, just looking ahead. So no, I don't think it's overreacting. Let's try Jimmy. What's up, Jimmy?
Hey guys, sports. I just wanted to say real quick, this debacle was always waiting there for us because of, you know, them putting the Texas organization putting all their eggs in the basket waiting on Romo. And the thing is, if they were doing that and they had Romo on their sides, you were going to have the same O-line, you know, pretty much, because you're not, you know, you weren't going to get anybody else to fix that. And I don't think even Romo would have been, you know, standing up there. I think he had the thought, okay, look, if they're not doing anything with the O-line, why would I want to be behind that? I mean, that's my thoughts right there.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that ship has sailed. Yeah,
Tony Romo is probably happy where he is.
Yeah, he did a good job. So,
and would it be nice to have him here? Sure.
Yeah,
but
do I think he would have had a very good game Sunday the way that line played? No,
he'd probably be hurt.
Yeah, and then you wasted you all the eggs you put in that basket are broken.
Yep.
So, we'll do one more, Ben. What's up, Ben?
Hey, what's going on, guys?
Sports is going on.
Well, I guess I was just going to give, I'm not usually this person, I guess, put it that way, but the little Texans optimism. The one thing that I can say about the defense that, I mean, visually it looked pretty bad, obviously, but overall they only gave up 280 yards of offense, and Blake Bortles was 11 of 21 for 125 yards, so it's not like he really lit up. Where I think a big issue with the defense was obviously the 3 turnovers and the fact that the offense didn't go anywhere, leading to terrible field position constantly, and they were also constantly on the field. So that's just, obviously the defense didn't play good, but that's the one optimism for, I guess, them looking as bad as it was, because like I said, the numbers weren't as bad, and being put in the position they were put in, just, it's going to be tough for any defense to be on the field in that field position all game long.
No, I don't disagree.
No, but they also
didn't exactly give good field position back either.
No, and they also, and I said this yesterday, when a game was 19-7, that's when your defense is supposed to step up, get you the ball back, give you a chance to make it a game again. And the Jaguars marched all the way down the field. That had nothing to do with field position, and beat them up and ran it down their throats. And yeah, the numbers weren't great for Bortles, but the running game was very good for them, even though the Texans had 8 in the box. No sacks, no turnovers. That's not a good performance. Now, I do think they'll play better Thursday.
I do, too.
But they're going to need to. And, yeah, part of it is when you're on the field a lot, definitely. That comes into play. But, yeah, I mean, they didn't do anything to help. And I don't think they deserve a pass, but that's just me. Maybe I'm wrong.
I'm not giving them a pass.
And, you know, the reality is possession time. When you talk about how long they were on the field, Jacksonville had the ball 10 seconds more than Houston did.
Yep.
So I don't know that that actually works. And that's with four turnovers.
Right.
So, yeah, 713-780-ESPN is your number, 713-780.
Well, part of that is also the Texans running down the play clock every play.
Yeah.
For some reason that I don't understand.
That must
be part of the complexity of Bill O'Brien's offense that I don't understand. It's running the play clock down to under three before you snap it, but especially when you're down.
And the other thing, too, and hit on this a little bit yesterday, but the freaking two-minute drill is they play it like it's a four-minute drill.
Yeah.
And they ran off a ton of time. And as it turned out, it was basically just to set Jacksonville up for a defensive touchdown. But
maybe they're just trying to get off the field. I don't know.
Yeah. And then after he got away with the one touchdown because it was an incomplete pass, which clearly was an incomplete pass, to have it happen again, that was pretty brutal.
Yeah.
All right, we'll do Colonel Caddy Wampus asking, is the Duke game just as sure of a bet as the UTSA play? Not for me, because UTSA was getting 16.5 when I bet that, and Duke's giving 14, and I think that number's gone up. Well, we'll take a look at some of the early lines in the 6 o'clock hour. I do have one play that I think I'm going to be pretty high on. Got to do a little bit more studying on it. But as good as I think TCU is, this is kind of the classic trap game because they had Arkansas last week.
Yeah.
And they've got Okie State next week. And SMU is not a bad team. And 20 points they're getting. So that may be one. We shall see. But, I just have to run my computer numbers on it before I make a final decision. But that's one I'm looking at. And we'll go through some of the other stuff. 713-780-ESPN, 713-780. They should start running their two-minute drill at the four-minute mark. Yeah. I don't want to take anything away from Jacksonville, because Jacksonville played really well, especially defensively. And on both sides of the really both lines dominated, offensive and defensive line for them. Let's try Michael.
Hey, what's up, guys?
Sports.
All right, assuming my beloved Aggies continue to trend the same way as they have for the past couple of years, what do you think of Les Miles saying them? And I'll hang up and listen.
I mean, I don't know if Les Miles is an upgrade necessarily. I mean, I think Les Miles is a pretty good coach. But today in the SEC, you got to be able to put together an offense. And I don't trust Les Miles to put together an offense or recruit a quarterback, which, you know.
Yeah. I don't know. And I kind of think Les had a great run at LSU, but it was time. And you know, I don't know. I just don't know that he could win there at this stage. But, you know, and it's a little early to speculate, but I'm guessing by week 5 or 6, if A&M hasn't significantly improved, you won't be speculating anymore.
Yeah, I don't think so either.
And Longhorn Dimitri asked, what do you think about the Aggs line against Lafayette? Lafayette gives up an awful lot of points. That's the only thing that scares me.
Yeah, they're not good.
Yeah,
but who's gonna if the Aggies don't throw Hubenek out there to start? I don't know what to say, because that other kid can't play. He's not a good. He's not ready. Maybe one day, but he ain't ready now.
No, he's obviously a terrific athlete. He's just not. He's not a football player.
Yeah.
You see that with a lot of these big-time 5-star recruits that were great in high school, and they just ran all over everybody. But I don't think he's ever going to amount to anything. I could be wrong, but
you've been wrong before.
Yeah, once or twice. Maybe I should try a new career.
All right, guys. My computer career. That's where you could go, Fred. If you suck at your job, IT may be right for you. It's not too late to get into it either. You don't need a math or a computer background to start an IT career because it's not rocket science. It's My Computer Career. See if an IT career is right for you. Go to mycomputercareer.edu. They've got a free career evaluation there today that'll sort of let you know if it's right for you or not, if it's something that you could be good at. My Computer Career is where you get trained for the high-demand field of IT. You can start your new life as an IT pro in as little as 3 to 4 months. You attend classes on campus or live online just twice a week, and that's all you need to start your new career. More than just a school, My Computer Career helps you get into the industry because they work with hundreds of employers that hire their students. Financial aid is available to those who qualify, including the GI Bill. Classes are starting up soon, so go take the free career evaluation now. MyComputerCareer.edu. That's MyComputerCareer.edu.
Restaurant to go to?
Do you know where I could find an organic Vietnamese taco truck around here?
Visit culturemap.com to get the latest restaurant and bar news from Culture Map food editor Eric Sandler. From the renterswarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. Here's Fred Thauer and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz. So are we not doing Jerome here today since he's doing it tomorrow? Or did we forget?
We forgot.
Because I'd kind of like to talk to him since I'm not going to get to talk to him tomorrow. Well, I might pop in for a few minutes. We'll see.
No way.
They won't let me in the door?
No way. You already called that you're off.
Well, I'm not off. I'm just not working the show tomorrow.
Okay.
But then Thursday morning, we're going to Vegas.
Yeah.
So we'll get to watch the Texans at a sports book somewhere.
Yeah.
And, okay, so here he is. You know him as Jerome Solomon. You know him on Twitter, at Jerome Solomon. It's Jerome Solomon. What's up, buddy?
Not much. How's it going, gentlemen? Nothing happening in Houston sports this week.
No, not at all. Do you find it, I don't know if you got all the notes from Bill O'Brien's presser or you watched it live. I don't know what you did, but does it still drive you crazy that Bill O'Brien talks to the media like he's Bill Belichick, like he's accomplished something and we're all too stupid for asking every question that we ask?
I find it humorous more than anything. Yeah, it doesn't bother me. It would actually bother me if somebody of importance treated you with disdain when you know you deserved better. And so this is a little tricky question, but I think you'll get tricky answer, but I think you'll get it. One, the Houston media doesn't deserve a whole lot better.
It's fair.
But Bill O'Brien's not the one to put us in our place. You know what I mean? Not with as moronic as he can be so often, and then he has the nerve to be bothered that you ask why he would be such a moron. That's the thing. It cracks me up because, if I don't feel you're superior to me, which, who would I feel that about? Certainly not Bill O'Brien. I'm not going to be bothered by how you try to act superior. And he does that, and I think the media allows him to get away with it a little far too often, but,
So what do you think?
Who he is.
What do you think of Deshaun Watson starting Thursday night?
It's the smart play would be Deshaun Watson starting game two of the Texan season because Deshaun Watson should have started game one of the Texan season and Deshaun Watson should have been declared a contender for the starting spot the day he was drafted by the Texans and he would have won the job at some point between now and then if Tom Savage was good enough to start the game on Sunday. It's idiotic that Deshaun Watson got into the game at all. as simple as that. And there's nothing Bill O'Brien can ever say that would make sense for him having such an itchy trigger finger to pull a guy after 30 snaps at halftime of that game. It's his guy on top of it. It's ridiculous.
Well, he just did that 2 years ago and admitted he made a mistake. I mean, when is this guy going to learn?
Well, no, he did work. See, at least 2 years ago,
there was a competition. It was neck and neck all the way down to the, you know, to late in the preseason. It was neck and neck until Ryan Mallett decided not to come to practice on time, missed one. You know what I mean? So it was there was a battle. So you knew going into that game, we were all like, okay, you know, he picked Hoyer. Let's see what happens. We know Hoyer can't play, but Bill O'Brien acts like he didn't know. Well, this wasn't the case here. So it made no sense for him to give up on his guy that quickly. And he gave up on his guy in half the amount of time that he gave up on Brian Hoyer. Hoyer played twice as many snaps as Tom Savage did the other day. Is Tom Savage half the quarterback of Brian Hoyer? He might be, but if he's half the quarterback of Brian Hoyer, he shouldn't be on the team or in the NFL at all.
What do you think? Okay, I'm putting you in charge. How do you fix things for Thursday night?
See, I'm a religious guy, so I pray.
Yeah, that's the answer.
But no, it can't be as bad as it was. I mean, it was over the top bad, one of those kind of situations. But I don't think the coaches gave the players much help as they needed. I mean, one, you know your defense is going to play better. They didn't play well at all, and they didn't help the team. And maybe they gave up after seeing how bad the offense was doing and not contributing either. But you expect your defense to play better. You give your offensive line some help. I mean, you got to suck it up and just go, hey, I'm going to run the ball into the line three times or run three running plays anyway and see what happens and punt the damn ball. You know, live with it. You know, accept that you can't drop back and throw the football because you're getting killed up front. You just have to take it. And yeah, we would have been like, man, the offense has no imagination, and you would think they would be better. Well, no, at some point you've got to live with what you got. And you know, and he's been doing that. These guys have been doing this a long time. So if he doesn't have anything to combat, when his offensive line can't get the job done, and his only move then is to bring in the rookie quarterback because he might be able to get loose. That's horrible, horrible coaching. And you guys have said it all off season. Most people who've been paying attention were saying it. The offensive line wasn't great last year. There was no reason to think it was going to be any better without Dwayne Brown in there. And they played down to as bad as they can be. If you didn't have a backup plan to deal with when your offensive line wasn't delivering, you're not coaching.
Well, that's we've all been saying that. Yeah. No one listened to us.
Right, yeah, and that's what I'm saying. Like, think about it. If you know this offensive line is that bad, well, one, you guys would have went out and done something to try to improve that offensive line. At the very least, if I'm going to have some scrubs on the offensive line and I'm the Texans, they would be different scrubs than these scrubs. Because I already know these guys can't play, and you may have gotten the best little average you can get from them last year or whatever. So they needed to make some sort of change. They didn't do that other than knowing that Nick Martin was coming back. But you also have to go, okay, look, if we're just in a free-for-all and our line is getting crushed, we're going to start doing this or that, or here's the plan we're going to go with. This is what we're going to switch to. They didn't seem to switch to anything. They just kept trying to do what they came into the game trying to do. And his panic move wasn't to go to his panic offense. It was to go to his rookie quarterback. And that's horrible, horrible coaching.
Well, and it's kind of hard, though, to keep tight ends to block when all three of them are basically dead.
Well, yeah, but see, yeah, that's true. I don't know what – Their offensive line, they got a lineman hurt as well. But you know, they last year when he had healthy tight ends, he was running offensive linemen out there at tight end on many plays, right? So, you know, but you, at the very least, you got to keep your running backs in. My goodness, you kept a fullback on the roster. Put him on there, make him do something. I mean, run the ball. If you can't throw it, run it. I mean, and I'm not saying any of this would have worked. That's not the point. The point was he just decided we're just going to take this butt whipping. And 10 sacks in that game is inexcusable. It's the most sacks the Texans have ever given up. And the Texans have been bad on the offensive line for what, 13 out of their 15 previous seasons at least? And they never gotten beaten this badly on the line. This shouldn't have happened Sunday. And I don't know who learned a lesson or if there's a lesson to be learned. Maybe, you know, Bob McNair learned a lesson and go, okay, this guy just doesn't know what he's doing.
Yeah, well, and Xavier Suofilo just spent his entire time in the Texans' backfield. Isn't it time they punt on this guy? He just keeps getting worse and worse.
They line him up in the backfield. You know, you know, put somebody else on the line. Put him at fullback and let him start back there. At least he wouldn't have to go backward the whole time. He was awful. I mean, and he's been bad, you know, pretty much the whole time. When he got to be just a little below average last year, people were saying he looked like he was coming around. I've never thought so. I never believed that. And, yeah, we started in on him early on because he's here instead of Teddy Bridgewater or Derek Carr. But, no, he's been here long enough. I told you guys a month ago, I said they were still talking about how he was behind because of the trimester system that USC is on, and he wasn't able to get the trimester system he's on in the Pac-10 and not able to get to rookie minicamp and all that. And I was like, that was 4 years ago. Yeah. He has no excuse. He's just not that good. He's not strong at the point of the attack. And when you don't have Dwayne Brown, and I'm sure you guys have said it, I haven't listened, didn't just get to listen yesterday, that Dwayne Brown wouldn't change anything. Well, I'm telling you, that's not true. For one, at least one of you guys wouldn't be getting his mollywopped at the point of attack the whole time, but he'd also be able to help out. The entire left side got beat on like 8 out of 10 plays. I mean, in that you can't run any kind of offense, really, when the half of your line is getting smoked and the other half isn't doing much better. And so Dwayne Brown would make a huge difference, and we'll see when that difference will be made.
Well, it's certainly not going to happen by Thursday. There's no way they could get him in there in time for that, even if they came to an agreement.
No, if they came to an agreement today, I'm not even sure he'd be able to play next Sunday even, you know, at this point. So it's really – and that's gotten to a silly point. And I'm not going to absolve Dwayne from blame here, but the people that – when I mentioned it on anything on social media or anything about Dwayne, I keep hearing about, well – you don't want to give him this. You don't want to give him that. Well, forget that. It's way past that point. And it's not about what the team needs. There's giving Dwayne Brown more money or whatever he is asking them for at this point. It's not keeping the Texans from going out and signing some great player. You know what I mean? Like, so right now it is only about them being cheapskates. Because it's not there's nobody walking on the streets that the Texans can't sign now if they do something with Dwayne Brown's contract. It's all about their principle and their cheapness, and their cheapness is going to come back to haunt them. There's no way they give up 10 sacks if Dwayne Brown's in that game on Sunday, and he should have been there.
And they got cap room. That's the other thing. They've got room to do something.
I mean, and like who are they going to go get? What, RG3? Colin Kaepernick? Is that what they're like? We can't give him Dwayne Brown any extra money because we're saving that for Colin Kaepernick, right? Is that the plan? I don't think so.
Yeah, well, it's going to be a mess. So hopefully when you know what, you'll be here tomorrow to tell people.
We'll
all
talk
about
it all day tomorrow.
I'll be able to go off then. But I will tell you this: 3 weeks from now, it should all of be forgotten. Well, maybe they might be 0-4, but by the time they get past New England, maybe by then we'll get to move on to something. I would not be surprised, though, if Deshaun Watson has a big game here in the next couple of weeks once he, you know. Yeah, because he's just a much better player than Tom Savage, and we all knew it, and it's just a matter of when do you want to see him play. I don't think there's a right or wrong. But obviously, the only real wrong is starting Tom Savage and letting him play 30 plays. That's the worst wrong. Everything else is debatable. That's not even debatable. That's just dumb.
The big question is, and we'll talk about this in depth tomorrow. I agree with you that Deshaun Watson is a better quarterback than Tom Savage, but is he good enough to play on this team and have any kind of success? And I think that's kind of the bigger question.
Well, it's a bigger question, but it's only a bigger question because they've been parading Tom Savage around.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, you wouldn't be arguing that if you start out just it had only been Deshaun Watson or it had been someone else. And I'm not really just not trying to just disparage Tom Savage, but almost anyone else with some kind of a track record. But they didn't have anybody who could play that we knew could actually play on this level. Because Tom Savage hadn't proved that he could play on this level, and he played like most of us thought he would, right? So why was Bill O'Brien surprised? That's the worst coaching you can do is when you're the head coach and you've been with a guy for 4 years, and you're surprised that he panicked under pressure. And Bill O'Brien panicked right along with him.
All right, that's Jerome Solomon. You'll get 3 hours of Jerome tomorrow with AJ. So make sure you tune in. Jerome, appreciate it, man. And we'll talk to you soon, my friend.
All right, gentlemen. Have a good one.
All right, you too.
All right, guys. Got to tell you about DraftKings. Week one in the books, but not too late to get closer to the game you love with DraftKings 1 week fantasy football. I just put in my lineup for week two. Looks totally different than week one because my week one lineup kind of sucked. Thanks a lot, Kirk Cousins. This Sunday, DraftKings is hosting another $100,000 Pick'em contest. It's totally free to enter. Pick'em's the newest way to play one-week fantasy football. Drafting your team is faster than ever. They've organized players into 8 tiers. All you do is select one player from each tier. You choose between public contests or private contests that you can play just against your buddies. They've got beginner and casual contests, so you're playing against people of a similar skill level, and you can draft a new team every week with no commitment. Get to DraftKings.com now. Use promo code Houston to play in DraftKings' free contest with $100,000 in total prizes this Sunday. That's promo code Houston to compete for your share of $100,000 in total prizes. The contest is totally free to enter. Why wouldn't you try it? DraftKings, the game inside the game. Eligibility restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com for details.
ESPN 97.5. From the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz. Brian T. Smith just tweeted this out. O'Brien's Texans. Ryan Fitzpatrick, Ryan Mallett, Case Keenum, Brian Hoyer, T.J. Yates, Brandon Whedon, Brock Osweiler, Tom Savage, Deshaun Watson.
You can put that on the back of a jersey.
You could. Yeah. You could.
It hadn't been long.
Although you should just call him the Ostrich. That name is stuck. All right, let's do the Zadok Jewelers Gem of the Day.
The Gem of the Day. It's the Gem of the Day. The Zadok Jeweler Gem of the Day.
All right, a whole bunch of people sent me this one today, knowing that it was right up my alley. But it's a sex robot update.
Oh, boy.
And apparently, it's sweeping the globe. People are totally into it. So, that's all good. However, tech experts have warned that the more advanced these robots get, the greater the risk they will pose to mankind.
Yeah. You know who hates sex robots? Hookers.
Yeah, probably so. But
put them out of business.
The inventor Elon Musk labeled advanced artificial intelligence, including sex robots, as the biggest risk of World War III.
Bigger than North Korea.
Bigger than North Korea. He says North Korea should be low on our list. Cybersecurity lecturer Dr. Nick Patterson said that hacking into a sex robot could even be easier than gaining access to someone's laptop or phone. He added that once a robot has been breached, the hacker has full control. Hackers can hack into a robot or robotic device and have full control. Often these robots can be upwards of 200 pounds and very strong. Once a robot is hacked, the hacker has full control and can issue instructions to the robot. That's the last thing you want. Once hacked, they could absolutely be used to perform physical actions for an advantageous scenario or to cause damage. So he's saying you can hack into the sex robots and use them to kill people. Very Westworldish.
Yeah.
But he predicted we will soon see robots replacing human workers and mimicking humans. But as long as they're connected to an interface, they can always be hacked.
Oh, boy. Does this concern you?
Well, I don't have one yet. So if I get one,
then you'll start to worry. But does this deter you from wanting to get one?
Well, and real women can kill you, too.
That's true. But real women aren't starting World War III.
Well, I think they might be overreacting this just a little bit. So,
well, I would leave it alone if I were you.
Well, I still haven't found one that I like yet. I need to find the one. You know, it's just like a life mate. You want to find the right one.
Right.
As soon as I see that
the right robot.
Yeah, it's got to be the right
robot. A robot you can trust.
That I don't think will get hacked.
Right.
And one that will, you know. I need one that doesn't. They still look too freaky to me.
Yeah. They don't look human enough.
No. But
you do like that they're less effort than a real woman.
Oh yeah. Well, there's no effort to them. You basically just turn the thing on. So, you know, okay. You don't have to take them to dinner. You don't have to beg them. Yeah. You know, I think it's, you know, potential down the road. All right. That's your Zadok Jewelers Gem of the Day.
The gem of the day. It's the gem of the day. The Zadok Jeweler Gem of the Day.
The backup one was there was a half marathon in Emerson, New Jersey on Sunday. As runners approached what appeared to be the 1 mile mark, they were met by a guy who was self-pleasuring. Apparently he dropped his flannel pajama pants and began masturbating, horrifying participants and spectators. He was later apprehended, taken to a local hospital for evaluation.
Well, mental evaluation, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. I was going to say he didn't hurt himself.
Well, yeah. Could have pulled something, right?
Yeah.
But, yeah. Weirdness.
Could have pulled something.
Exactly.
So,
I think he did pull something.
Yeah.
I just looked this up. Guess who has more quarterbacks since Bill O'Brien's been here? The Browns or the Texans?
The Texans, for sure.
It's the same. Eight. Eight quarterbacks have started for the Browns since 2014. Eight have started for the Texans.
Now, here's an interesting question. Who lasts longer, DeShone Kizer or DeShone Watson?
Kizer has a better offensive line in front of him.
Which one misses a start next? Either he's injured or pulled.
It'll be Watson gets hurt first.
Well, now, okay. Since Watson's going to be starting, the Texans have 9.
So the Texans take the lead?
Yep.
Oh, boy.
Guys, Green wants to know what's easier to hack into, Sex Robot or Equifax? I'm guessing Equifax, since, you know, it hasn't happened, Sex Robot, yet.
Listen, if you're a Texans fan, you need to drink. And one place you can do it, Saturday, September 23rd. By the way, just to help you guys out, that's the day before the Patriots game. So if you have a really good time at the Kima Craft Beer Fest, you might not even wake up in time to see the Patriots game, which is, I would say, a good thing. The Kima Boardwalk 24 Breweries invite you to spend the day sampling over 72 of the finest craft beers. You can buy advance tickets now for only $44.95 a person. You can get them for $39.95 if you're a Landry Select Club member or you have a military ID. It's $49.95 the day of the event, so it's worth it to get in early. Admission includes beer samples, giveaways from vendors, and food samples. There's live music all day, Spasmatics from 2 to 6, and Midnight Release from 6 to 10. And the beer list is long and strong. Locals like Carbox, St. Arnold, Spindletap, going down to Galveston Island Brewing. There's national brands like Avery, Bell's, Brooklyn, Oscar Blues. They're all going to be there, and they're all going to be serving up that sweet, sweet nectar. Purchase tickets online at KemaBeerFest.com or on-site at multiple ticket booths at the Kema Boardwalk. All guests must present a valid ID at the time of purchase, and that ID must note that you are 21 years of age or older. That's the Kema Craft Beer Fest, Saturday, September 23rd. For more details, visit KemaBeerFest.com.
The station that brought you Dream Crushers, the pepper spray incident, and male golfer, female golfer food. We celebrate 10 years.
Got it in my mouth.
Thank you, Houston.
Thank you.
ESPN 97.5 is 10.